relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
We're on. Hey, folks, it's Jim Hansen. I am sitting here in studio, oblivious to the fact that we just went live, because I was talking to my good friend, amazing filmmaker, and one of the most culturally elite members of the America First crowd, Amanda Milius. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be on in the new spot.
Isn't this cool?
This
it's
is
like a
crazy.
Late night TV show. It is the coolest thing I know.
No, I almost am like not like worthy. I'm like, oh. Like I said, I almost wore sweats. Good thing.
I know. You got to do the
on the bottom.
You have to have the top hat.
Yeah, I'm used to just being able to pull it together on the top, and then everything else is like yoga pants. And I'm like, maybe I'll get dressed today. Yeah.
Well, we did it, and we're on the late night TV talk thing. Now, I want to talk kind of production value.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you noticed, there is a giant show trial propaganda fest for the invented insurrection going on.
That was pretty, I mean, yesterday was, there's some really good memes created out of yesterday. Like, if a day creates good memes,
It's a good day. Because the left can't meme, so you know it's us, it's our team winning.
Yeah, there was this one where, like, I think they had, like, shots from one of those, like White House Down or something movies, okay. Or like, and then they had, I mean, it was so.
Oh, with the beast spinning donuts.
Like, he's
and driving
going
across.
Over the grass. Like, it's like, that's basically what she was describing. I mean, it was absolutely insane.
And good on him. But I want to kind of get into your area of expertise, because the left decided when they were going to have these show trials that they were going to hire a TV news executive to stage them so that they were super cool.
It tells you a lot. And then you've got like Zelensky going on like every meeting with every celebrity he possibly can. You're like, man, this guy's got a lot of time on his hands, because like I'm just trying to run a production company, like not run a war. Like I don't even have time to do that. Like that's amazing.
Well, I want you to rate so far what you think the quality of the show trial has been from a production value. I mean, because it's been a train wreck from a criminal perspective.
I mean, yeah, from a legal perspective and from just a sanity perspective, it's a total joke. But I think production value-wise, graphics, you know, really helped explain the layout of the West Wing, made it seem a little larger than I recall. I love that they had to show, like, the to make her relevant, they were like, her office was, like, right here. So she could have, like, she heard things. And you're like, there were people who were, like, their office was, like, to sit on someone else's desk with, like, a laptop on their hands. Like, it's like the West Wing was like not like whatever. At least she got her makeup done that day. That was nice. She did a good job.
Makeup
with that.
Gets an A.
Yeah, I'd say she got an A on the makeup.
An
I like
F
the,
on
the
truth telling.
The jewelry was minimal. I was like, that was nice. I don't know why she kept laughing like through the whole thing. It was a little bit. She seemed
Isn't
a little
that a
too
sign
excited.
Of fear?
To
know?
Be, or just like, I'm in the middle of everything. It
so
all
giddy.
Depends on me. Like, it's, you know, it's a little bit attention seeking. I mean, some of these, again, I've come to like almost a place of peace with how many terrible appointees we had in that administration. Like, I think I said yesterday, I was like, wow, she's like the Miles Taylor of the J6 committee, which is what she reminds me of. But where she's like, I was like there for all the most important decisions. And you're like, God, you and everybody else I've ever talked to, like, it's ridiculous. It's sad. I mean, that's what these people have come down to. It's like, and then there was that thing where it's, oh, she wanted a job at Mar-a-Lago and all this. I mean, there is that crowd of people that like have flown, have like flocked to Mar-a-Lago, and like that's their post-Trump admin career. And frankly, a lot of these people, I mean, there really isn't anything else for them to do. So I understand that. That's fine.
But she was hoping to be one of them. And
right, and then not, yeah, like her, just like the comfort in Cheney's office. My favorite was one of my favorite guys who is like an awesome patriot who we love is Max Miller. And you can hear in the interview they played of his just the disdain and the, like you can hear him rolling his eyes in it where he's like, yeah, and then sometimes the president asks for movements. Like that's pretty normal. And then, and you know, he's just hilarious. He's great. Like, I hope he wins, and he's awesome.
Well, let's hope he does. And I think we're going to see a lot more because they're not going to stop. That's the best part of this is they're just getting warmed up, and hopefully we'll have more of this. We're talking with Amanda Milius. Plot Against the President was her blockbuster. There will be more to come. We'll find out more about that. And we will continue to hear the joyous deconstruction of the show trials that are failing miserably. This is Jim Hansen. We're doing America First Radio, and we'll be back after the break.
Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't start by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code GORKA. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code GORKA.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Hey. Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power.
Welcome back to America First with our very special guest, Uncle Jimbo. It's Jim Hansen.
Hey, folks, happy to be here. We're having fun doing America First. We are talking with my good friend Amanda Milius, filmmaker extraordinaire, who has an interesting project that I'm dying to see because John McAfee is one of the world's wild men. Mm-hmm. And his whole tail end demise and all of that. You've got some interesting stuff going on about that. Tell us where the project sits now.
Well, the company is building a handful of docs at one time. We've got the doc fund, and then we've got the scripteds. And like what I'm trying to do, instead of doing one movie at a time, I'm trying to create a machine and a company.
Nice.
And we all are trying to create an industry, right? Mm-hmm. So these things take a little bit longer than just like shooting out one movie after another. But I feel like that's my kind of, I hate to say this, but really my gift to the movement.
Sure.
Is that I know how to do these things. It's not just about me. It's not just about me making a movie after a movie. I want other directors to be able to make quality movies that can stay on big platforms, that can make a huge difference. And that's a kind of boring skill that I have, but it's something that I can lend to the movement. So the bigger picture is the company, and we have such loyal humans working with us that it's like, it's a blessing.
I love your crew.
They're wild. You know my guys.
Yeah, they're fun.
They're wild. Yeah. And they're great. And I love them. And so we've got our work cut out for us. But on the McAfee front, what's interesting and what I was reminded of by the author, Mark Eglinton of No Domain, which is the property that I optioned, mm-hmm. along with the 36 hours of McAfee's final interviews that he participated in. Because remember, McAfee and Eglinton had a relationship. Now, that's different than McAfee's work with anybody else that's done material on him. He liked the author. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm like, that's what I want, because I want to tell his story truthfully. Now, Mark reminded me, it has been a year, and Mr. McAfee's family has not received his remains from the Spanish government. It's been a year. And I don't even know if they've seen photographs or what. It is extraordinary. There is something very wrong and sketchy and interesting going on here. And so I'm reluctant to say what my opinion is about it because it's evolving and it will be obvious in the movie, I think. It's not, again, it's not about my opinion. It's about the facts.
Right.
But I'm more confident than ever that that was the right choice as far as how to tell that story. And I can only hope to live up to what he wants. The other day we were goofing around on Twitter and someone was like, so who's in the running to play McAfee? And I was like, McAfee himself put the list out and Morgan Freeman's at the top. So I owe it to him to reach out. I mean, he gets right of first refusal, I think. So we'll see how that goes.
You never know.
There are some people that I've been thinking of that I think would just be incredible. And, you know, but we'll see. Really, we need to remain true to the story and we need to remain true to the man's vision. And I'm fine with that because, like I said, I see a lot of, when you say he's one of the last wild men.
He's a wild man.
I love that. The reason I went after it, I was like, it reminds me of either my dad or a character my dad would have written.
Yep.
You know, my dad would have written McAfee if he was this generation. I mean, McAfee is kind of a Kurtzian character. He went up the river and didn't come back.
He did.
You know?
And ended up getting, you know, taken out by himself or his followers. Who knows?
And there's so many cross... Mm-hmm. I mean, again, not to be this person that's like, you know, endlessly referencing my dad's career or influenced by it, but I can't help it. You know, there's ways that it seeps into my brain. Like, I looked at my thesis film from USC, which is called The Lotus Gun, which is, you'd think, the farthest thing from a John Milius thing, aside from the gun aspect, which was very, very in there. It's very cool. It's a beautiful shotgun that's engraved with, like, all this hippie iconography, which I found to be too... visions that came together in this very weird, cool way. Like, it has like a snake and like marijuana leaves etched over. Like, there's a whole backstory behind it. But interestingly enough, I was looking at it and somebody was like, I feel like this has like the plot of Conan. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh my God, it has the plot of Conan. Like, I did the plot of Conan in my thesis. I swear to God, I wasn't thinking about
that.
Now
I have to
watch
it. I haven't seen that. So
well,
it's a
student film.
It.
You got to... It's available. It's publicly available.
Okay.
It's PBS.
We're all
going to
watch it.
It's called The Lotus Gun. It's on Film School Shorts, which was PBS. It's on YouTube. It's free. Dasha Nekrasova, who's one of the hosts of Red Scare, who's got her own brilliant acting career now because she's a phenomenal actress, as you can see in Lotus, which was her first movie.
Wow.
I mean, she's just beyond. You know, so it's growing this little, like, weird little cult fan base, which I kind of like. But at the same time, I mean, it's a student thesis film. It's a little bit like showing your homework assignment to everybody.
Tough beans, you let the cat out of the bag, and now we're going to be playing Conan side by side.
With Lotus Gun, and actually, it's quite...
As long as you drive your enemies before you, I'm fine with the whole
thing. We always drive our enemies before us, especially on this show. We need to nod because Seb usually plays the Conan music when I come on. So we must make a nod to
Conan.
When
Elon Musk dropped
off. Oh my gosh. Just prior to that, it was the week of like the NATO Wolverines op or whatever, where like supposedly the Ukraine was like spray painting Wolverines everywhere, which I'm fine. Maybe that happened. But my dad, meanwhile, is like ecstatic. He's suddenly like the most relevant guy ever. And he's like, have you seen the news? I'm everywhere. And you're just like, all right, like, yes, that was pretty cool.
To hear the lamentation of the wokesters.
That
which
is
was my answer back to him. I gave him the first two lines straight and then finished with, instead of the lamentation of the women, we'll have the lamentation of the wokesters.
I agree.
Folks, we have been talking with Amanda Milius, amazing person, and emblematic not just of the fact that her dad blazed a wide trail, she's blazing her own trail, but she's following Andrew Breitbart's phenomenally important and the rule we should all know, politics is downstream of culture.
Absolutely.
You're a cultural icon. for the right. And
thank you.
We appreciate it. And I think you should continue to lead the way and be as fearless as you have.
Because, thank you. Because
it is a brilliant way for us to operate. Folks, we are going to be back after the break and talk a little more about the dangers that the woke and insurrection propaganda fest on Capitol Hill has for all of us. But thanks to Amanda, this is Jim Hansen. We're doing America First Radio. Be back to hear some more.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
Well, we believe in America First. I'm Jim Hansen, sitting in for Seb, who is enjoying some well-deserved family time. I'm talking, and we kind of semi-kidnapped Amanda and made her stay for one more segment because it's more entertaining than just me. I think we can all agree on that. But again, let's go back to the show trials and how's that being perceived?
It would be cool if I was actually tied to the chair on the next when we came back.
I'm not willing.
I guess it's not that kind of show.
I'm not willing to no. I think we would have a problem.
Anyways.
From too many directions.
Yeah. Okay. So back to the show trials.
But the perception. How do you think it's playing? Because, I mean, you're a person who, because I do information warfare. So I as a profession,
same.
Try to change narratives and affect people, which is what they're doing.
Right.
This is information warfare
propaganda. I'm following
propaganda.
In your footsteps. I'm following in Seb's footsteps. I'm following in Andrew Breitbart's footsteps. I hope. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. And frankly, like I said, this looks like this whole show looks like Russiagate part 3, 5, whatever.
It's
on.
At least 3. They had 2 impeachment
trials.
Well,
then they had the Ukraine thing. Then they had, and that was like no one talks about that. And then, now it's just endless Russiagate, which is why, again, not to like plug forever, but the movie Plot Against the President is still key to see because it lays out the blueprint for how they conduct these information ops. Mm-hmm. And so, if for no other reason but that. For our breakdown of how they wash information through the FBI, mm-hmm. through a certain New York Times or Washington Post or whatever, back into the FBI, and it becomes a criminal situation. And then you find yourself in a place where the potential Attorney General, Mr. Larry Clark, was being raided in the middle of the night in the exact same way we describe Roger Stone's raid, yeah. where it was more about humiliation. I mean, that's Chinese tactics to bring people out in their sleepwear
right.
in front of their neighbors. Mm-hmm. That's part of the point. That's not an accident.
Right.
And it's so disgusting. And I've had to deal with so many people who I'm actually close with having to deal with this absolutely ridiculous show trial. Mm-hmm. And it has ruined people's lives. Like, I like to make a joke out of everything on Twitter. You can assume everything I tweet is with the laughing emoji because I just find it all so ridiculous that sometimes I just have to say silly things. And that's just what I do.
Right.
It's all just on a level of absurdity. But at the same time, we must remember, like, people's lives are being destroyed yeah. every single day. The next round of subpoenas, that's another hundreds and thousands of dollars of legal fees for people that have had nothing to do with anything when no crime was committed. And they're all being dragged through the mud. And where do people go to get their reputations back, as we say?
Yeah.
And actually, one of my favorite things that's happening is one of my co-producers, Daniel Bostic, is leading the first defamation case against some of these left-wing rags for claiming right. he was the riot organizer, which is absurd.
If you know Daniel, you know that's impossible. So anyhow, a brilliant talk with Amanda. We'll have you back as often as you can. Seb always does. This is Jim Hansen.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, and I'm delighted to welcome our special guest host, Jim Hansen.
Well, I'm delighted to be back sitting in for Seb doing America First Radio, and even more delighted to now have in the chair one of my favorite lawyers, which is admittedly a short list. I think it's pretty much you and Schlichter. But Will Chamberlain is here. And I would love, Will, to get your opinion of just how brutally effective the show trial for the invented insurrection has been at throwing the traitor Trump into the brink. He's going to jail, right?
It's so
silly.
You're laughing. Well, I think, you know, there's so many different problems. We can just start with yesterday, what happened with Cassidy Hutchinson. I remember watching Fox News and hearing Brett Baier tell me, oh, this is devastating. Did you hear?
Right.
This is devastating testimony. And it's like, clearly you've never seen a trial, because the first thing you'd notice is it's hearsay.
Right.
She's almost very rarely is she testifying even to a conversation she herself heard. Most of the talk is about someone else told her that Trump said X.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just hearsay. It's actually what we call double hearsay, right? There's the hearsay statement of Trump, you know, being offered for whatever the truth of that it was asserted. And then there's the hearsay statement of the person gossiping, right? So you have these, you know.
What's the legal standard for gossip? We got hearsay, double hearsay, gossip,
and
BS, which
right,
is what it seems
right.
She was.
And so, you know, it's not that all hearsay statements are inadmissible. There are actually a lot of exceptions to the hearsay rule. But this is the classic example of why we have a hearsay rule. Right, you have this woman saying, well, I heard that Trump grabbed the steering, you know, this guy told me Trump grabbed the steering wheel. And then you realize, well, that's not even possible. And then within an hour of the testimony, it comes out that the Secret Service agents are perfectly willing to say under oath, no, that never happened.
But why in the world didn't the January 6th committee check that out beforehand?
Oh, I'm sure they did. In fact, I'm sure they have depositions of the Secret Service agents. They almost certainly knew, which makes what Liz Cheney did not just, you know, a mistake where she fell on her face, but actually kind of appalling. Like, she was soliciting, you know, maybe Cassidy Hutchinson didn't know that the testimony was false. She might not have known what happened in that car. She might well have believed the gossip. But Liz Cheney was sitting on the committee hearing all those depositions. So Liz Cheney knew what happened in that car.
But she's got immunity from anything because she's sitting in Congress,
yeah,
right?
She's
got that garbage immunity that they get. And the thing was, it wasn't even about getting Trump for that thing. They wanted the headlines that say Trump led the charge, wanted to grab a musket himself, you know, and impale Mike Pence for failing to dethrone the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, I saw, and then Liz Cheney even, you know, of course, she links to an article by David French where French is like, oh, they've really got Trump this time. And then apparently his whole argument is that somehow this testimony will lead to Trump being prosecuted on incitement of violence, which is just omitting the fact that he said that they should go over peacefully.
And
you know, there's just no way you're going to get an incitement charge under these facts.
They're starting to remind me of Boss Hogg and Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane from the Dukes of Hazzard, where we're going to get them Duke boys.
Oh, yeah.
They're always trying to get Trump, and he's always driving away in the Beast, jumping over airplanes.
Dude, he's been out of office for 18 months, and they're still trying to get him. Guys, he's not the president anymore. You can relax.
No, they can't. They can't relax because they're literally scared to death.
That's
he's coming
true.
Back. So,
that's true.
And, you know, they didn't get him. This is like round three of official attempts to get him. And he is just so slippery.
Yeah, it's like.
Or maybe he hasn't committed any crimes.
They're
I wonder
like
if they
Elmer
considered
Fudd.
That.
Yeah, no, maybe he didn't commit any crimes. Maybe,
weird.
You know, and at the end of the day, like, what is the long-term conclusion here? Are they saying Trump didn't act particularly quickly on January 6th? Well, if you were paying attention to Twitter that day, you knew that was true, right?
Right.
He could have tweeted about it faster. He didn't. We knew that day.
Right.
Oh, you think he was unhappy with Mike Pence? He gave a speech about how he was unhappy with Mike Pence. But we knew that.
It's not illegal to be unhappy that Mike Pence is not going to do what he's being asked, which was to go ahead and say, let's hold off on this. And maybe before we seal this with the Electoral College, maybe we should look at a couple states, you know, in a way that hasn't been done yet.
Right.
It's legal to ask for that.
Sure. It's not. It's just all this stuff. They're prosecuting people for a legal strategy at the end of the day. Now, They want to prosecute Trump because people like breached the Capitol. Well, that wasn't on him. They were breaching the Capitol before his speech was done, and he said to go over peacefully. None of this is it's all really just kind of a joke, and the degree to which they're trying to say, oh, this bombshell testimony. It's like no, it's not bombshell testimony, and it's also. They would actually benefit. The left and the people going after Trump would benefit from having some people on the committee who were Trump defenders.
Right.
Because then you might have an adversarial moment or two to keep everybody's attention. But instead, all you get is this one-sided, boring, direct examination that falls apart in the media within an hour.
It's like a long episode of CNN before their guy said, everything can't be breaking news. You know, every single story that happens cannot have the breaking news chyron on it, as if this is the most earth-shattering thing ever. And they keep saying every day, this is the one, this is the secret witness who's going to finally take Trump down. And when we get down to it, it's the same old hashed over garbage.
Yeah. And I mean, there's nothing dramatic about it. Think about when you watch a trial or something. What's the most dramatic moment in a trial? It's not direct examination. It's cross.
Right.
Right? It's where you have...
Because it's adversarial.
It's adversarial. So maybe you have a moment where, you know, you have a hostile question, but the witness turns it around on the questioner, or, you know, something is revealed. But here, it's just dull. It's just the direct examinations over and over and over.
Here's the problem they have. I'm not sure they've got anything they can use to flip. You know, like you said, okay, they come back at someone in cross-examination and they think they're going to get them, but the witness throws them a curveball and actually proves the point. They don't have anybody who can prove a point because there's no point to prove.
Right, right.
They started with a premise that doesn't exist. They invented an insurrection, and now they're trying to create, through show trials and through the media and through some fairly egregious abuses of the people they've actually prosecuted and who have copped pleas, the idea that this was an actual event. And I don't think you can do that if anybody throws a flag on the play.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if there were, you know, a pro-Trump questioner that would follow up with all these people, I mean, that testimony yesterday would have been blown up.
It would have been horrible.
Ms. Hutchinson, were you present in the car when Mr. Trump said these things? No. Good. Next witness is going to be the guy who was
getting
in the car.
Coffee, because that's what I do.
Right, yeah. Two sugars, please.
Yeah, no. All right, well... I think that piece of it, you know, legally, I think they have failed in everything. But do you think they're going to go ahead and indict him and try to do it again in criminal court?
I don't think DOJ is going to try and indict him for incitement. I mean, I think Merrick Garland's a smart man. You know, he may be thinking he can get something done with the electors, right? Mm-hmm. That's because that's what it seems like he's going after Eastman and other people like that. He may think, and, you know, one place where if Liz Cheney actually has the goods, which doesn't seem probable, but if she has the goods on witness tampering, i.e. people in Trump world calling up other witnesses and being like, I hope you should know the boss is watching, that kind of stuff. Like, that would be, you know, that's an easy thing to prove if it's true. So that might be where he has some problems. But in terms of the actual underlying substance of what they're trying to say, they're not going to get him on this stuff because it was an incitement. It wasn't.
It's not a complicated thing, but do they win at all then? Because it's kind of going to seem totally anticlimactic if they end up with witness tampering. You know, oh boy, we got him with witness tampering. And we got this lawyer over here who had some crazy ideas that he was telling Trump. Maybe we should throw him in the clink.
It's not going to get anything. I mean, the American people just don't really care. And it's just not compelling.
Well,
compare it to the Kavanaugh hearings, which were extremely compelling.
Yeah.
And that because there was adversarialness, right? Because there was a back and forth between, you know, Republicans and Democrats.
So, but they've got, you know, they're doing it now with the hope that they were going to have this be the news in the fall.
Yeah.
You know, they want, and I think, again, the law of unintended consequences biting them on the butt could be that all they get are these, you know, gutsy little chintzy little trials. And all of a sudden Trump's talking smack over it. Right. And saying I'm vindicated again. This is the third time they've come at me and I am invincible, man.
No, I think independents don't care. And all they're doing is pissing Republicans off with yet another clearly unfair process. Right. It's transparently unfair to Trump. Right. He has nobody there to defend him. He has no lawyer to object. There's no judge to like enforce any kind of rules of evidence. It actually is the thing that closest resembles a star chamber that we have. Now, it doesn't have punitive power, but that's what the star chamber was like this in the sense of it's one sided questioning with no rules of evidence and they can just humiliate you and there's nobody to stop it. Like, that's kind of what this is.
Well, I think I got to be honest. All right. Everything that they've done to the January 6th defendants from the riot side of the house has been so egregious that it needs to be dealt with. And we had Julie Kelly on before and she explained how awful that is. But this side, their show trial propaganda side, I think has blown up in a spectacular Wile E. Coyote fashion. And I'm kind of happy they did it. You know, it was such a bad idea that I'm glad they did it. So we're going to be back after the break, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the big string of wins we've had from the Supreme Court and a little thing Clarence Thomas said about New York Times versus Sullivan that I think is kind of awesome. We're talking with Will Chamberlain. We'll be back. This is America First Radio. I'm Jim Hansen. Seb's on vacation, and we're going to have some fun after the break.
Welcome back to America First with our very special guest, Uncle Jimbo. It's Jim Hansen.
It most certainly is Jim Hansen, and it most certainly is Will Chamberlain in the other chair right there. And as Will has the Esquire status as a lawyer, I want to hit you with something that I thought was good, because I'm celebrating the string of victories for the Constitution, you know, with the Roe decision, with the Second Amendment decision. Those were amazing returns to the Constitution actually meaning what the Constitution says and was meant to say and was meant to do. Stunning victories, I think, for the country as a whole. But then there was another one that kind of slipped in a denial of cert on a case where Justice Clarence Thomas, who obviously wrote the wonderful new Second Amendment, which I think they keep calling it Bruin or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the Thomas decision. I want to give it to him. Whatever. We'll see if we get away with that. He dropped in a dissent about that case that we need to consider, or he would be open to considering and reconsidering the decision New York Times versus Sullivan, which gives a very heightened degree of protection from defamation suits to the media. You have to prove actual malice, not just complete gross incompetence in a way that any decent human being would have been embarrassed to put this turd of a story out.
Right.
You have to prove that they actually knew it was a lie and did it on purpose to hurt someone before you can sue the media. Should we flip that one?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we're still a long way from even getting there, right? We have one justice saying he wants to hear a case. That's a big difference. That's a long way from having five who are willing to reverse that precedent. That said, you know, things have moved positively. A lot of people thought Roe wasn't going anywhere, and now it's gone. So certainly New York Times v. Sullivan is suspect as a decision. We forget about this, but it federalized defamation law. Like, prior to Sullivan, defamation law was different in all 50 states. And there were differing levels of intent and different standards. And it was Sullivan that said, throughout all the state law, and said, guess what? Now it's going to be much harder to win a defamation case. And you have to prove actual malice, which has a technical meaning in the law. It's not like you're angry, right? You think malice. You're like, oh, mad. No. It's not about anger or resentment. It's just you actually have to know you were lying or have reckless disregard for the truth, which is a very, very high standard, almost impossible to prove, or impossible to get evidence of before discovery, certainly. Mm-hmm. So, that needs to go. It doesn't really have a basis in the constitutional text.
But there's some value to the idea, I could see, because libel shopping's a thing overseas. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people like to sue for libel in England because they have garbage laws there that make it very easy to sue someone, you know, for libel or slander or whatever. So the idea that maybe all 50 states shouldn't be able to libel shop or slander or defamation shop a suit. Maybe there should be a standard. But why then such a high standard that the media can get away with what they've been using it for, which is a license to lie?
Yeah, there shouldn't be that license to lie. It's because when you think about it, in other areas of the law, like the person who's being defamed is an innocent victim, right? They didn't do anything.
Right.
And yet the burden is on them to prove someone else knowingly lied, not even just was negligent or grossly negligent, but that they knew it knowingly lied. And it's like, well, where do they go to get their reputation back?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and you can do real harm with defamatory. I mean, Johnny Depp is a good example of that, right? Amber Heard.
Well, Johnny Depp just got offered $300 million to make another Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
But
he had to work really hard to prevail in that case, right?
Yeah,
that wasn't
true.
You know, but he had to prove actual malice on her part. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was a lot of work. But you saw, like, he lost his, those defamatory remarks cost him his job as the Pirates of the Caribbean star.
Yeah, no, and getting it back is a big thing. So is there a reason that the media in any case should have that higher level of license to lie than anyone else? Or I mean, it affects everyone equally. Does the media just use it so much more egregiously than everyone else that we see it and it disgusts me and all decent people?
I mean, they use it as a reason to be lazy. Like, I mean, because negligence, remember, it's not, you can't sue somebody for defamation just for being wrong, right? Mm-hmm. They actually have to have been negligent, like shown a lack of reasonable care, acted not like a reasonable person would under the circumstances, or a reasonable journalist. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if they do their normal work and they get something wrong, that's not defamation. It's when they're lazy and, you know, they don't ask for comment and then publish falsehoods about you.
But like, and in some of those cases, they talk about, okay, layers and layers of editors and fact checkers and all these things. And they're supposed to, you know, the standard for journalism should be, and they claim is, that they do that due diligence when it's obvious that they do not.
Right.
So shouldn't there be then that opening for someone who not, and it's not even negligence that they're doing. It is purposeful, I think, in most of those cases because they can get away with it.
Right. I think it would do a lot to make them be much more careful and much more neutral. I think part of the, you know, the real disappointment is that they're just so willing to just publish falsehoods, misleading information. You know, they're the primary purveyors of misinformation. And a world where, you know, the lawyers were on their case telling them, no, 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 show us your work. Like, be fair here. That would be a better world for journalism. And, you know, they say they have all these layers of protection. It's like, good, you have all those layers that you have, editing and supervision. Great, you won't have a problem if we...
You should be able to prove you did your due diligence and did that. And you look at cases, now you've got Nick Sandman, right, for the kid who got accused of attacking a poor Indian Vietnam vet poser, and they ended up paying him, right?
How much they paid him.
But if they paid him a dime, paid him something.
I mean, it could have been a nuisance settlement, you know, and that's because the problem is, again, he had to prove that they knew they were lying when, you know, or
they
weren't
settled,
just reckless.
They didn't want to go to discovery.
We don't know how much they settled for, right?
No, but I think it's indicative. Yeah, I agree. But the point is they had the ability then to make that go away, which they always will.
Sure.
But he didn't have the ability just to walk in the door and say, look, you guys obviously ran with this so quickly and without even checking any of the available footage, which me, you, and a dozen other people found in less than a day, that showed the other guy, the Indian drummer, was the one who was the aggressor. They didn't do that, and they went with their story anyhow. And the reason they could was because he didn't have an ability to do that.
Right.
And he's not the only one. Rittenhouse is in the same boat right now. You know, everyone wanted to talk smack about him and did. And I think if he had to write, you know, he's going to have to get settlements because he's not likely to prevail in court.
He's in a much weaker position legal in terms of his ability to win defamation suits because he was charged with murder, right? Like that's really on Binger and those idiots that even brought this case that it never should have been brought. It's clear self-defense, but they charge him. And so, you know, saying that the news outlet showed actual malice and describing him even as a murderer, but it's like, well, it's alleged, but still
weren't alleging though. That was the thing.
Yeah.
That's where he may get him. And he probably won't.
Yeah.
And that's why I appreciate Justice Thomas, I appreciate you bringing this up and giving us the opportunity to maybe slap the media down a little bit and force them to do what they claim to do. Will Chamberlain, a pleasure for sharing your expertise and unique perspective with us. Mm-hmm. This is Jim Hansen. Seb will be back Tuesday on one of his longest excursions away from the studios ever, so brace yourselves. But we'll be back after the break to rock a little bit more America First in the last half hour of today's show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.